Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
It's so wonderful to see each and every one of you out this morning. God has blessed us to be able to come back for another day to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see all of you, especially those that we haven't seen for a while. It's very good to see all of those who are visiting with us, if we have any visitors. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 5th chapter of the book of Acts, and it's reading from verse number 30, where the Bible says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." And just for a little bit more emphasis, in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 29, the Bible says, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher." This morning we're going to talk about precious gifts from the cross. Before we go any further, though, let us go to God in prayer. O Lord, our gracious and wonderful Father, you have blessed us to live out the old year and start into the new year, and we're eternally grateful. You have sacrificed and given unto us your only begotten Son, and we're thankful for that. Father, please bless us as we go into this new year now, and bless us to have longevity, if it be your will. Give us our health and our strength. As we pray for those who are not doing so well, we just pray that you continue to give them a reasonable portion of their health and their strength also. We pray for those who may not be with us today, that they hopefully will be able to be with us at the next appointed time. Father, we thank you for those who may be traveling this way. We ask you that you give them safe passage here, and we pray for those who are traveling all over the country and the world, O Heavenly Father, that they may have safety. We pray and thank you for our leaders in this congregation, and pray for them and their families. We pray for each and every brother in this who has taken part in this services this morning. We thank you, and we pray for those who shall come from this point on. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. We're just so grateful, O Lord. And we pray now, Heavenly Father, that the things that we do, and that they might be found faithful in this service, O Lord. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Let us all say amen. It's good to have Brother Miles back singing with us once again. Brother Miles, you did a real fine job. I know you may still be suffering a little bit, but we thank God that you are as well as you are. And we thank God for the singers who served while Brother Miles was unable to serve. Brother Hall and Brother Thompson, Brother Jackson, we just thank you for your service as well. So now let us go into our message this morning. Precious gifts from the cross. As we put the rest this holiday season of this past year, it is now time to set our sights toward the new year. Let us consider the things we should place our thoughts and wishes toward. What and where, you may ask, should our priorities be? Well, we need to remember that if it was not for a tree, we should be mindful of, not just the Christmas tree that we should be mindful of, but instead it should have been the tree of the cross. The cross which gave us the most precious presents we could ever receive. The gifts I speak of cannot come from any other person or any place else other than the cross of Jesus. The cross that we must come to receive them, and only Jesus can offer them to us. Let us consider several gifts from the cross this morning. The greatest gift of all is the person of the cross. Some may be on the false assumption that Jesus was sent to the cross as punishment from God for his sins. But let me assure you, that is not the case. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6, we find prophecy of Jesus in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 53 and verses 3 through 6, the Bible says he was despised and rejected of men, turned our backs on him, and we esteemed him not. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem stricken. Verse number 5 paints the picture really clear for us. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. He was beaten that we might have peace, and with his stripes we are healed. For we like sheep have all gone astray. We, that's us, everybody. We have turned to everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God gave Jesus some awesome responsibilities, not for himself, but on our behalf. God made the tree which provided the timber for the cross to hang Jesus from. Then he provided the gift to hang on the cross. According to John 3:16, he did it because he loved us. He did it because he loved us, and that was a marvelous reason, a marvelous gift, and a marvelous reason that he gave unto us. That gift can also be found in Titus 2, verse number 14, where he gave himself up that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So let me ask the question, are you a good worker, or are you just a non-worker? You know, this is 2016 now. And check your checks to make sure you didn't put 2015 on your check. It's 2016 now, and we've got some work to do in the new year. We've got to consider some better things than the old year perhaps provided for us. We've got to consider some new things. We've got to consider some better ways to serve God. Now, the ways to serve God are old as time. They are already given in the Bible. But we've got to adhere to those ways, and we've got to do the will of the Lord. You know, it's good to be able to come out to serve God in spirit and in truth. But some of us, when we get here sometimes, we got everything else on our mind but serving the Lord. Some of us we can't wait to get here to talk about what you did last week, instead of saying, I'm here to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. So that precious gift, the greatest of all, was the person of the cross. Then he gave us another gift. He gave us the gift of eternal life. To all those who would accept this gift, the message of John chapter 10 and verse number 10 makes a lot of sense. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. This is the gift of more than mere existence, but rather of more abundantly having life. To live eternal life, and let me explain something to you. Eternal life should not be confused with natural life. Natural life will come to an end. A spiritual life has a beginning, but it has no end. A mere natural life will be separated eternally from God if you're not careful how you live your physical life. While those possessing eternal life will be united with God. When this gift is received by one, they are no longer dead to spiritual life, because Christ has brought us to life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. You can be dead and still walking around. You can be dead and still yet alive. You can be dead, but you're not spiritually. You're spiritually dead, but you're still living. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4, turn over with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4. Ephesians 2 and verses number 4 through verse number 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that's a gift, church. You didn't have to unwrap it under your other tree. It was already given to us from the tree of the cross. It was presented to us from Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, from the Lord. God loves us and wants us all to be saved. And you know, 2016 is a good year to make up your mind that you're going to do right. If you didn't do it in 2015, try doing it in 2016. This is the kind of gift that once we accept it and we use it, we should be willing to re-gift it. Now, this is all right to re-gift the gift of eternal life. We should be willing to re-gift it to others over and over again. Isn't it wonderful when we can let others know what a gift we have received from the Lord? How often have you received a gift and you could not decide, you couldn't decide whether you wanted to use it or not, and so you tossed it aside in the hope that you never run across it again? This gift is not that type. You want to keep it alive in your heart and let others know what God has done for you. You are using it. When they see you, will they know that you are using it? How can you show them that you are using it? Well, men should let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about glorifying God and letting your light shine. Some folk who tell you that they are Christians don't act like Christians. Some folk that tell you they are Christian, but they don't show being a Christian. And the Bible says we are to let our light shine so that others may see. So when you are accepting this gift, you are supposed to have your light shining. And then there's the gift of reconciliation. Reconciliation means for us to restore us, as in the restoration of fellowship. We at one time was enemy of God, but now we are at peace with him, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We now have fellowship with God as our Heavenly Father. According to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is that this gift of reconciliation, that we have the benefits of this gift of reconciliation. We have some of the benefits of, we have peace that passes all understanding. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus. And I want you to watch this gift work through God. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. All we need to do is trust in the Lord and keep focus on that gift. As long as we put these gifts to good use, as long as we walk right, as long as we talk right, as long as we pray always, we have the hope of eternity when this earthly life passes away. When I think about it, I ask myself, how important was receiving a Christmas gift? How important was it when I have all these gifts already available to me from the cross? Because when I get a Christmas gift, half the time you don't like it. The other half of the time you're never going to use it. And the other part of the time that's left, if there's any left, is you wonder why they gave me that. Well, with the gift that Jesus has given us from the cross, these are precious gifts. All we need to do is just trust in the Lord. Stay focused on the gift. As long as we put these gifts to good use, we'll be doing all right. We have the hope of eternity when this earthly life passes away. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now I call that a gift. I call that a wonderful gift. And then when you look at the verse of verse number 30 of Acts chapter 5, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Now, Jesus didn't deserve to be hung on a tree. It was us that were in the bad shape. But God sent Jesus down here to hang, bleed, and die on our behalf. Now, here it is, 2016, and some of us are still questioning the validity of the cross. There are people that you hear say, well, I don't believe such thing ever happened. They say things like, the cross is not real. It's just a man's from a man's mind. But I say that the Bible, if the Bible says it, it must be true. It should be true, and it has to be true, because the Bible wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true. Now the time of wrapping and unwrapping our earthly gifts are over. Until next year, let us now focus on the gifter who never stops giving to us. Let us in this new year focus on gifts from the tree of the cross. This cross is not like any other tree. It bore our Master and our Savior. It held the body of our Master. It gave us the living Savior of whom God sent to save us. Let not any man-made holiday confuse us. Let not any certain time of the year confuse us. For Jesus gives year-round. Have you met the Master? The same one who spoke to the roaring winds and stopped them from blowing. The same one who can calm the raging sea. The one who was the kind of man that people ask, what kind of man is this? He is Christ, our Master. So I ask the question this morning, do you know him? If you don't know him, vow in 2016 that you'll make this the year that you come to know him. And then when you go over and see it again in Acts 13 and verse number 29, where the Bible says, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. Yes, he was crucified. He was taken down off the cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. And yet he did this not because he needed to do this. He didn't need to cleanse himself. We needed to be cleaned. When I think about it a little further, I ask myself the question on many occasions. And I've repeated the question that I've asked myself over and over to you. Would you have given up your son? I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have died on, sent my son to die on yonder's cross for us. But God loved us so that he sent his only begotten son that he might save us from our own selves. And when I think about it even further, I'm so happy that he did. I'm happy that he did, and I'm so happy that he saved us and gave us the opportunity to eternal life. You know something? We ought to love the Lord. We ought to love him not just like folk, some folk pretend and say that it was his birthday around a week ago or so, that Christ was born. You know what that is? That's the marketing executives wanting to get into your wallet. They tell you what time of the year it is so you can go out and spend more money. And you know something? We fall for it. We go out and buy these same people these same gifts. We go out and buy these people these gifts. And like I told you before, most of them don't appreciate them anyway. But I'm not like that. If y'all got something for me, bring it on to me. I told you that before. But nevertheless, make 2016 the year that you decide to follow God. Make 2016 the year that you decide to live right. Make 2016 the year you decide to live for God. And make 2016 the year that you live according to God's will. And when I think about it even more, a little bit more, and I'll tell you, I don't know how much time I have because I don't have on a watch this morning. But I'll tell you one last thing. This being 2016, that puts us all going to another year in our lives. A year later in our life. Because nobody in here is getting any younger. If I'm making a mistake, somebody please correct me. But I believe everybody in here is getting a year older if they live out this year. I believe everybody in here should be thankful to God for another year in their life. And I believe if God lets us live throughout this year, we put this year under our belts at this time next year. If we're still here, let us be thankful to God more and more. Now, there are those who may have something on their hearts and their minds. There are those who may have something in their hearts that they want to get off their hearts. And you need to bring it to God. You need to give it over to God in 2016. Your resolutions that you made, you know, the lies that you tell every year. Because in 2 weeks, they'll all be dropped by the wayside. Those same lies that we tell every year, I'm going to lose some weight this year. I'm not going to eat as much this year. I'm going to go to the health club more this year. I give you 2 weeks in the health club, and you're going to say, well, I got kind of tired of going. And I give you 2 weeks to resolve to yourself that you can't go on without eating like you were eating all the time. You may eat differently, but you're probably going to eat just as much. Now, I'm just trying to be real with it. I'm just trying to tell you the way it actually is. I don't mean to step on your resolutions that you made, but the resolutions are going to go by the wayside. Trust me, I made them before, and they lasted about 2 days. But what I'm saying to you is this. Make one of the resolutions that you try to keep, make it that you're going to walk with the Lord in 2016. Make it that you're going to serve the Lord in 2016. Make it that you're going to walk like the Lord and walk with the Lord and be like the Lord asks of you to be in 2016. Be what the Lord wants you to be in 2016. And I may as well tell you, the road is going to get rocky and hard when you try to walk in the path of the Lord. But the Lord is a lamp unto our feet. His word is a lamp unto our feet. And all we got to do is just follow the path that's lit up for us. And finally, if you got something on your heart that, as I said, that you want to get rid of, give it over to God and leave it there. Don't go back and take it back, because you're just toying with God then. You give it to Him and you leave it with Him. And when you leave it with Him, don't go back and say, "Lord, I'm going to take this back because you ain't working it right for me, no way." That's what you're saying. But give it to the Lord and leave it there. And how do you do that? Well, you just make sure that you trust in the Lord and you have enough faith in Him when you ask in prayer to Him to help you. You see, if you could do it by yourself, you would have done it by yourself a long time ago. But you can't do it by yourself. You got to make this the year that you learn to trust more and more in Him. Seek His guidance more and more. And how, you say, do I get to that point? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you've already been that way, you've already been baptized, you're already a member of the Lord's body, but you've still made a mistake. And don't think that we as Christian folk don't make mistakes. We do. Right. We just may not admit them, but we do. We do make mistakes all the time. We fall by the wayside. And when we fall by the wayside, we can pick ourselves up, go to the Lord and ask Him to bless us and forgive us of our shortcomings, and then come before the church. And I want this to be the year that when you come up here, don't be afraid to turn to the audience and say, "Church, I need you to pray for me and to help me get through what I'm going through." You don't have to tell us what you're going through. But just let us know. Some folk like to come to the front and mumble so I can't hear them and so we can't hear them. So if I'm sitting in the back and you're asking me to pray for you, you got to let me know something about what you want. Just you can just say, "I've asked the Lord already to forgive me and now I want the church to pray for me. I'm asking you for prayer." Well, if you're asking for prayers, let the church know that you want prayer. Say it loud and clear. I know some folk have a hard time, and so what I want to institute, if you're sitting in the back row and you need somebody to hold your hand to come down, raise your hand. I'll come get you and walk down with you.
All right, preacher.
If you need a little extra help in getting to the front, I'll walk with you. And I'll tell you something, if I walk with you, it's not going to make the prayer any different. You still are going to have the problem, but I'm just trying to give you a little support, something to lean on, or someone to lean on in your walk down the aisle. You see, because I may falter myself, so I may not be worthy of you to count on me, but at least I'll give you some encouragement by meeting you halfway. Then when you do these things, when you get up here finally and get to the front, you fill out the card and you ask the church, you turn and face the church and say, "Church, pray for me." And doesn't the Bible say the prayer of the righteous availeth much? Somebody in here can get a prayer through. And I'm not saying it's me, but I'm saying somebody in here, their prayers will get through. Now, I don't know who that may or may not be. I'm not encouraging anyone to say that Brother Carter said, "My prayer ain't going through," because that's not what I said. I said someone in here can get a prayer through. I just believe that. And the prayer of the righteous availeth much. If you're traveling, you need a prayer for your traveling grace and your arriving mercy. If you're sick, you need a prayer for the sick. If you're hurting, you need a prayer for your hurting. If you're financially in trouble, you need a prayer for help get you out of financial troubles. And it's easy this time of the year. to get in financial trouble. I know that. I used to be there. But I thank God that I'm not there anymore. And you can be just like that. You don't have to be in financial hot water because it's whatever they call that season in that time of the year. Don't go overboard with it. Just be thankful to God and walk with God and ask God to help you to understand things a little better. Now, I've said all that to simply say, if this is your desire, you have that opportunity to come now as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.